Thoughts on Micah. Micah chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Now, let me pause before I give the title. What would you expect next? Here is Judah, being confronted by God through the prophet Micah. They've sinned against him. They're going on in their way. Exile is on the road. But they still want these prophets and these preachers to teach what they want. They don't want the word of God. What would you expect God to say now? Well, my title is this: Amazing Mercy. Amazing Mercy. I had first chosen deliverance, and deliverance would do. But it's not enough. It's amazing. An amazing mercy here. I will surely, what? Gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. Israel gone to the north. Judah gone to Babylon. The north gone to Assyria. Judah gone to Babylon. I will surely bring together the people of God here. I will bring them like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. An amazing deliverance. I think it speaks of the deliverance after the exile. Of course, the northern kingdom did not come back. The southern kingdom did. I think, therefore, it speaks of the new covenant. But I think it speaks of Christ, the King, coming in all his glory at the last day, the resurrection, the judgment, and the coming of the kingdom. After all the rebellion, after all the apostasy, after all the breaking of the covenant, after all the rejection of the prophets, amazing mercy. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What deliverance. Who is a pardoning God like thee? We should come to that in Micah. But I can't help but anticipate it now. Micah 7:18. Oh, sinners, hear this. Sinners have offended God. You have offended God, unbeliever. We are all offended God. We're born in that state. We're condemned in Adam. And the offended God stands ready with his hands outstretched all day long to a disobedient people, calling upon them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me and be saved, all of you. This is the sovereign act of God, of course. I will, I will, I will, I will. It's not the work of man. God uses means. He used Cyrus. He would eventually use Cyrus to bring back the people from exile. But it was sovereign act of God. It was the Lord himself. And it's always the same. It's the same today in the gospel. We preach the gospel. Sinners have to believe. Preachers have to go out and lift up their voices and so on. But in the end, it's God, his power, his spirit. He breaks in and he breaks out before them. He breaks open the way and they break through the gate and they come. God breaks into sinners' lives. And they throng. God be glorified in this. Now I can't help but anticipate David's hymn here on Micah 7:18. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike and divine. But the fair glories of thy grace more godlike and unrivaled shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Crimes of such horror to forgive, such guilty, daring worms to spare. This is thy grand prerogative, and none shall in the honour share. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? Angels and men, resign your claim to pity, mercy, love, and grace. These glories crown Jehovah's name with an incomparable blaze. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? In wonder lost and trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God, pardon for crimes of deepest dye, a pardon sealed with Jesus' blood. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? Oh, may this strange, this matchless grace, this godlike miracle of love fill the wide earth with grateful praise, and all the angelic choirs above, who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free?